This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Sir, we wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
Welcome to the California Penal League podcast. I have a stat for you boys that I figured we could launch right into this episode with. It is a scary stat. It's frightening, and I don't like it. Here's the stat that I want you to chew on for a second. I want you to tell me what you think of this. Miles Straw, center fielder you all know and love for your Cleveland Guardians, has a 225 OPS in August, which is the lowest, the single lowest monthly OPS in the live ball era. I would say I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned. That's pretty bad.
As you should be.
He's putting together one of the single worst seasons in Cleveland history at this point for like a full-time player. And I'm not off the Miles Straw train by any means because I think this might be an outlier of a year, but like, wow. Those are some eye-popping numbers. Where are you guys at on Miles Straw right now?
I mean, obviously, you know, defensively, he's incredible. God, but he is just a rally killer. And I love his attitude, but like he's just, as you start to look at, you know, the future build of this team, even though they extended him prior to the season, there are so many scenarios where he is just like not part of the equation. Because if you move Kwan, if you have Gonzalez in right, you move Kwan to center, you call Valera up and Valera starts mashing. I mean, Straw is then your fourth outfielder, which is fine. And like, I know the extension wasn't like, you know, a crazy amount of money. But I there are a lot of routes that, you know, he, and it's crazy because he was the only, you know, stable piece going into this season.
That's the crazy thing.
And that's what's like so shocking. Yeah, in the outfield. That's what's so shocking about like how this has all transpired. And if you were to tell me that stat going into the year, I would assume we were in fourth or fifth place.
Yeah, I'd be like puking.
And not leading it by a game and a half.
Yes. Yes, it is a game and a half now, as of tonight when we record, because the Boston Red Sox can't give us a freaking game against the Twins at the moment. So
yeah. The Giants blew that game 2 days ago, so that was great.
Yeah.
So I was gonna compare him to Kevin Pillar, but I think that's doing Kevin Pillar injustice.
Maybe like Kevin Kiermaier.
Maybe Kiermaier is a better example.
Kiermaier's had some pretty lean
seasons
offensively.
Pull up his...
The thing is... Yeah, pull his numbers up. The thing about Straw, though, is that there's something of a track record to suggest that this is not, like, the norm. I mean, he's had numbers that have been, like, far, far better than this. It's just tough when, like, he's a guy who has no power.
Yeah.
And can't drive the ball.
So let me throw a stat your way. What if, just hypothetically speaking, the rosters were to expand in a few days of this recording, and there was a guy sitting in Columbus with an average above 300, with an on base close to 375, who has 46 extra base hits, 95 RBI, and nearly 20 stolen bases that you need to give a look to. His defense probably isn't going to be on par, but it certainly would be league average, I would have to assume, based on what I've seen and heard. Would that be of some kind of interest to you to see said prospect get some time?
Yes, I would say, I would tell you this. I like where you're going with that. I just think that in this scenario for this year, you're probably stuck with a Miles Straw.
I think you probably are too, but
let's go with this.
That's
hypothetically, Will Brennan. Yes.
That's Will Brennan's numbers this year between Akron and Columbus. And most of those numbers have actually come in his time in Columbus, where he's played like 75 games or so this year.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the best case scenario, and we can kind of get into this a little bit later, because I do kind of want to pick your brains about the call-ups. But I do think Will Brennan would be a interesting call-up, just because we have to see what he can do. I mean, he's a 20th ranked prospect in the system. His scouting report on MLB Pipeline is pretty much like league average, just slightly above league average. He's definitely got more pop than Straw, where, I mean, he's already had 10 homers. I would maybe think that, you know, if he can elevate the ball a little bit more, maybe he's a 10 to 15 guy in the bigs, which Straw's never come close to those numbers. And we need some more power. That's another thing.
We do.
That's another thing we definitely need to address this offseason. We need another bat, wherever it be, maybe.
Yeah.
Some thump. But I guess where I'm going and circling with Will Brennan is, you know, give him a couple starts here and there every week.
Well, what do you do
with Will Benson? Is a late, what's that?
What do you do with Will Benson then?
Will Benson needs to go back down to the minors. I'm sorry. He needs to go back down to the minors, and it's nothing against him. You know, half the guys that have gotten called up.
He's overmatched.
Yeah. Half the guys that have gotten called up. Honestly, you know, there's only two guys that I would pencil into this roster for next season, and that's of the call-ups, I should say, and that's Kwan and Oscar Gonzalez. Everybody else needs to go back, rework some things, and come back. I think that there's, of the 14 guys that we've seen make their debut, I think that we're five or six are going to be contributors. You know, so
four. I mean, and the good thing is, with those two guys, you're really only looking at, you know, one outfield and catching position that we don't have a lock for next year.
And probably a pitcher or two. Maybe another bullpen arm, but a starter and a
also and a bullpen. Owen Miller and his defense can get the fuck out of here. Like
yesterday. I would say his days are probably numbered on this team.
I mean, at least as a starter.
I mean, we're getting to the point with him where I know we've talked like super utility guy, but like, I mean, there's going to be probably a lot of pressure. It's going to be like Ernie. What'll happen is it'll be like Ernie Clement. It'll be like Owen Miller probably starts the year next year on the roster, but like is wiped off the face of the earth by like May.
I wouldn't be shocked in the least.
But it's funny though, because like, this is exactly what, it's funny because we're, you know, as of right now, the Guardians are in first in the AL Central with a month to go. But yet we're having this discussion of like, this season was about exactly what we're talking about, which is,
right,
hey, look, we're going to spend this season and we're going to see what we have in a guy like Owen Miller. And by the end of the year, there's a clearer picture of who he might be. And I think we're starting to see who that player is. And it's not somebody that, as of right now, probably figures into the long-term plans.
Yeah, I mean, he's a slightly above average bat with not much pop, you know, home run pop at least. I mean, he does have 24 doubles.
Aside from that stretch, though, at the beginning of the year, he's been like Miles Straw level bad. He's just been propped up by that one.
Let's take a look.
Month and a half stretch or something.
Yeah, he got off to that scorching hot start.
And I mean, he's dropped like 80 some points in his average, I think, over that 4+ month period. So like,
oh yeah, he started at like 400. I mean, the positive obviously is you're still up in the division. You have a decent above 50% chance to make the playoffs this season. And, you know, none of the people they called up this year were any of their top prospects. And the fact that two of them have like really come through with Kwan and Gonzalez and have solved the outfield riddle that's been plaguing us for like 5 seasons now. That's amazing. Even if we finished third in the division, that would be an amazingly successful year.
And I still think there's another 3 or 4 guys who are going to contribute, who have made their debut.
Yeah.
They just need to go back down in the minors. Like I said, work some things out and get their head on straight. And by the way, that Owen Miller, here's some Owen Miller stats from April 10th through May 19th, 27 games that he played in. He had 12 of his 24 doubles, 4 of his 5 home runs.
Jesus.
He had 15 of his 45 RBI. And I moved away from this. While batting a slash of 294, 348, 529. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, that, like you said, that first month, he was.
Yeah, he helped carry that offense for like a month, you know. And it's been literally, I mean, I think his average since that time in May has got to be like, I think he might be hitting under 200 even in that time.
Hold on.
I think it's like 190 or something like that. It's pretty rough. So
he pisses me off so much. Whenever I get notified with the lineup each day and I see that motherfucker in there, I just want to throw my phone across the room.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's why you're starting to see in Columbus, they're like, we got to get some people at first base because I don't think they think Josh Naylor, they like Josh Naylor at first, but he needs more spells.
Yeah.
With his injury history now, it's like, okay, let's not bank everything on him being the first baseman every day. Nolan Jones, Gabriel Arias, whoever the hell.
Nolan Jones hasn't even played first base since getting demoted. That's the crazy thing. They're still sticking him out in right field. And he's got a cannon for an arm. So I think it would be doing him an undue favor.
That's true.
Of not trying him out there and getting him some more reps in the outfield. But I mean, he screams first baseman, like, and a pretty darn athletic one too.
Absolutely.
Well, if he can play any games at first in a week, that's fine, you know.
And then that would make Naylor more of a full-time DH too, in that scenario,
which I'm fine with. You know, he's a high energy dude. Like, save his legs.
Yeah,
he can come.
We don't need a 40 home run DH hitting 230. I'll take 270 and 25 dingers.
Yeah. And 5 stolen bases.
Well, I think those numbers
even on his busted leg.
Once that ankle heals.
Yeah.
He'll climb up to like 8 or 9.
Timing. The Yainer Diaz is being caught up.
I saw that. Yeah. Included in
there. Yeah. Don't let Twitter get into that. That's, I saw a lot of people taking to Twitter and going, oh man, we could have stood to have kept him. We really done gone messed up. And it's like,
what are you going to do with Bo Naylor then?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and like, and also like, you'd be in some deep shit this year if you had to deal with like only rookie catchers all season long. between like him, Lavastida, and like Bo Naylor. It's like, you know, that deal's a wash because it's like Phil Maton and him for Miles Straw, who like still, for all his offensive struggles, still never ever strikes out. And it plays elite defense. So it makes me think that we're just witnessing a really just like unfortunate year. It's not like he's going up there hacking.
He still have a 1.3 war while batting 199, which
that's
is like
kind of amazing.
That's almost impossible to do.
He's in the top 25. He's in the top 25, at least, I think, among qualified batters in terms of strikeout rate. Right now, Kwan and Ramirez are 2 and 3 within like nutso percentages. But Kwan, Straw's right there. He's I think among guys with 400 at bats, he's like 22nd. And then Rosario is 40. So you got four guys in the top 40 who have like elite strikeout rates. So like, I pumped the brakes a little bit on that talk with him because it's like, I think you're just witnessing a guy having a really tough year. And if he comes back next year and gives you anything, you've got a good 9-hole hitter. I mean, and that's really all you need. So
yeah,
it's not like the sky's falling.
He's just got to start hitting a little bit more. That's all.
I mean, he has hit, yeah, just at all. That would be nice.
He had like two hot streaks, but they were literally like
he 10 did, day, yeah.
10 to 14 day streaks. So.
Yeah, they went away real fast.
Yeah.
And then switching gears into September, here's a little stat for you boys. As we head into September for our Cleveland Guardians bullpen, can you guys guess the last date as of this recording? The last date the bullpen gave up an earned run? Do you know?
I know it's been really long.
No, I thought. I thought De Los Santos gave up a run.
An earned run.
Yeah.
I'll say August 10th.
Okay.
I don't think you're that far off, actually, Fabs. I'm going to go like the 15th.
It is. You say 15th?
Yeah.
Good guess. August 15th is the last date that the Guardians bullpen gave up a run. So on August 29th, as of this recording, August 29th, August 15th is the last date. 26 and a third innings, 38 strikeouts, 10 hits, 11 walks, no earned runs. That is pretty
nuts. Who gave up that run?
Was it Shaw?
No, he hasn't been. I don't know if he's seen the light of day here in a while.
I think Terry's saving him for
the big
postseason push.
He's going to have him start all six of those Kansas City games in the year.
Why not? Why not keep that?
Like Cy Young.
Right.
Just keep that that bullpen ready and locked in, and then keep our starters fresh. You know,
that's right.
If he did that, I think I would have a stroke.
I think the whole city would collectively have a stroke.
I would be like in like losing my mind.
Especially because the division's probably still gonna be in play by that time.
At least between us and the Twins, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would say the White Sox are falling out of it real fast here.
Yeah, I mean, until they're Tony La Russa, forget them.
Yeah, it's going to be a real battle, though. It looks so. Yeah, shaping up into September here. There are what 8 games left against the Twins. Still, going into
doubleheader too.
Mm-hmm, there's that five game. At home. Yeah, the five are at home. There's 3 on the road. A weekend series. So the month is interesting because you have the likes of like the Royals and the Angels and the Rangers and White Sox who aren't out of it. But then you still got to play the Orioles, the Mariners, the Twins, and Tampa before you end it with the Royals. So it's kind of like a 50-50 schedule, but like you're talking about, I mean, at this point of the year, it's like the bullpen's at its best, and you've got Nick Sandlin and Karinchak back. You've got the offense doing what it does. I know people were like losing their goddamn minds about that Seattle series, but it's like you kind of just got to tip your cap to the Mariners, who pitched incredibly well.
Yeah. Yeah. Heading into that series, that I was looking at those matchups and I was like, oh boy, this is going to be
somehow the only game we won was the Plesac game, which is not something I would have ever guessed.
That's baseball, baby. No. They got a murder. I'll tell you what, Mariners got a murderer's row of a rotation right now. It's pretty damn good.
They do. They are going to be a really tough, because they're looking to get that four seed. So they would get home field advantage for that little mini three game series. And that would be such a pain in the ass matchup for the Astros.
Well, it wouldn't be.
Like, that would be a great divisional round.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'll tell you what, man. I would not. I mean, I know the Guardians right now, I think, are matched up with the Mariners, but anything could change over a month. But, like,
yeah,
that would not be a team I'd want to face in a series.
No, thanks. Give me Tampa or Toronto.
Yes. Yes, please.
Yeah, give me Toronto. I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, what's crazy about that series with, we should have won that game. We went to extra. We left, like, 14 guys on. We left 14 runners in scoring position. Like, we definitely gave that game away.
Yeah. It's like you're in one of those stretches where you've got a team that has to get timely hits, and they just didn't against good pitching. I it's hard to, like, look at that. It's okay to lose a series. You know, it's you're playing a quality opponent. And the Guardians play really well against teams 500 and up. So it's just like you kind of just have to look at it and be like, let's just move on.
Yeah.
You know, you lick your wounds and come back and hope that you can take care of business at home. But damn, Mariners team they're looking pretty good.
And that series loss was the first one since July 10th against Kansas City.
We
had gone nearly a month and a half without losing a series.
But isn't that funny, dude? Because now you get all these, like, people on social media and stuff who are like just, like, laying into this team as if, like, suddenly we had these, like, high expectations to begin with. Well, but, like, that's the thing. Everybody always has that, like, tunnel vision where it's like, what did you do for me this weekend?
Yeah. And it's that whole, we've gone over it before and this won't be the last time, but it's that mentality of that football mentality where, you know, 1 to 2 games, you know, can really put you behind the eight ball. And, I think with some of these elevated outcomes that we've had so far this year, you know, we're getting those bandwagon fans starting to pay attention again now.
Yeah, they're back.
So, of course, that noise is only going to get louder.
Yep. Isn't it funny, though, that on that 6-game road trip, where you had to go to San Diego and Seattle, they still went 3-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still went 500.
I'll take it.
You still take it. When they swept the Padres in that 2-gamer, I was looking at that Seattle series like, dude, if we get one win out of this, that's a solid.
I was getting greedy.
Road trip.
I wanted two, but yeah.
I was two. Same, I was two, same. But I was like, worst case scenario now is you just don't get swept. And they took care of that business. I mean, you come back 500. It's like the Twins are playing a little bit better. You would have liked to maybe pick up one extra game on them because the Giants, like you said, Fabs, and like the Red Sox aren't doing us any freaking favors right now. But again, you've still got 8 games against the Twins. So like you can essentially like put them away.
You could bury them.
One of these two teams is going to put the other away. It's going to happen.
I mean, and the good thing, because now we're at like, you know, 35 games left in the season. 8 games represents over 20% of your remaining season. So even if what's amazing about it is, like, say you're 2 games up on them, essentially. Even if you split with the Twins, that's 20% of the season, 24% of the season. The Twins can't gain any ground on you.
Mm-hmm. And they have a tough, tough back end too. They're like,
they do have a tough back end. We have a lot against the Royals. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it now. God only knows what will happen, but I love being at home. the final six games and it being against the Royals.
I mean, you cannot ask for a better way to end the last six games of the year. It's always a crapshoot. It's baseball. You don't know. But the Royals are so far out of, I mean, the Royals will be completely checked out in the last series, whereas Guardians are playing for everything. You can't ask for a better. And you end with 3 on the road in Kansas City. You play the Angels for 3 at home, and they are just a complete mess. You play the Rangers on the road, and they're just playing out the string. So it's not like that June schedule or the July schedule where it was just like, holy cow, every game.
Oh God,
is tough. Ideally, there's some teams here where you can like, okay, maybe we can take care of business here. Still got to do it, but it's looking okay to at least you put yourself in a good position to stake your claim on the playoffs still. So it should be a fun month. Chris, before we get out of here, did you have something you wanted to ask us, right?
I did. So there was one other stat that I wanted to throw your way. I had kind of two quick things. The first one, so as we've been talking, you know, let's kind of keep an eye, assuming, you know, to the playoffs. If you had to go, what would your rotation be right now?
Playoffs? I'm going
Bieber, McKenzie, Cal.
Yeah. Okay.
If you guys had to go to a fourth, if you had to go to a fourth, would you go
Savali
or okay?
Oh yeah, no, I'd cut Plesic's legs off and send him somewhere.
Fair enough.
I would tell you. I mean, dude, depending on how like the schedule works, I'd almost ask Bieber to pitch on short rest. I'd almost
go. I think you said Brian Shaw.
Now here, Brian, yeah, I'd go Brian Shaw.
Brian Shaw,
6 guaranteed innings. I would say this. Here's what you could do. I mean, we've talked about this before. Is the piggyback situation? Well, the first series
you only need the 3, and probably that second series you only still really truly only need 3.
So but we've talked too about the piggyback scenario where you have Savali pitch a couple innings, Plesac pitches a couple innings, and then you just ride that baby out as much as you can.
Sure.
I'd be interested in that because then you could still save Bieber on like a normal schedule.
Definitely.
In that scenario. So that makes sense.
The reason I ask is because not only am I looking at this year, but I'm also kind of looking at next year too. And I think we're all on board that we'd be okay-ish with Plesac being elsewhere.
Yeah.
With the
other guys we have,
because
we have 4 like I'm solid with.
Because if you look at Savali's last 6 starts, now he was injured in the second of these 6 starts on July 13th, but he's pitched in essentially 5 starts. He's got 29 innings pitched, 9 earned runs, 30 strikeouts, an ERA of 2.79, and a FIP of 2.68.
The FIP is interesting.
He's kind of done that quietly. Now, he did get roughed up the other night, which, you know, increased that ERA and the earned runs and the FIP, but he's been kind of quietly pitching pretty well right before he got hurt and since he's come back.
Yeah. No, he's impressed me. And the other night, I mean, a lot of that is on Owen Miller. Like, they were out of that inning. Like, that 3-run homer shouldn't have happened.
So
then you're talking really about 1 earned run.
Yep.
You know, like, another quality start in a row for him.
Yeah, so I think he would definitely be my 4th. And maybe he only goes 4 innings. And then you bring a Plesac in.
Yeah, I would for sure.
You bring a Plesac in for 2. And then suddenly, okay, now we're going into the 7th. And you can roll with that bullpen for three innings. Like, I think that's a very smart move.
I like that.
And I like having, like, I like a guy like McKenzie who could be electric in a game two.
Yeah.
Who's still really young, because I don't want to put him in a spot where he has to, like, it's a, you know, it's a deciding game.
Sure.
I want a guy a little bit more sturdy, like,
although
in that spot.
Although,
but McKenzie can also, like, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt that thought, but like that, you made me think of something. Is like what Francona did in 2016 is exactly what you're almost kind of saying, though, is that he swapped the two. So he had Bauer start game one, I believe, in that Toronto series, and had Kluber going in game two. And that would be game a similar situation where you might say, let the rookie, or not rookie, but like let the, I don't know, playoff
new younger guy.
Younger guy who's
go game one,
who's been arguably pitching even better this year, see if he's got the juice and see if you can steal game one and go to your guy in game two, who actually I don't believe has that great of a playoff record at the moment. So
he does, but not.
He doesn't have a super long track record though.
What does he have, like two starts,
something like two maybe,
it's like something three. I mean, it's real little. I mean, I wouldn't put much stock in it, but yeah, it's, but I could, but dude, I'm telling you what, you go into, you have a rotation that includes Cal Quantrill as your third, the way he's pitching. I like my odds getting in there.
I mean, let's just make it in and
just
then
make it in, man. That's all I'm saying. Even if they just get bounced in that three game series, guys like Kwan and Gonzalez, like playoff at bats, getting McKenzie a playoff start.
Oh yeah,
like that's so invaluable. Oh my god, yes.
Getting that. Oh my god, that week, the weekend of wild card games. Oh, full Chubb City.
Jesus.
Oh.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna need I'm gonna have people on speed dial. Just like check. I'm gonna have like wellness checks conducted on me.
That's right. I don't know where my kids are going, but they can't be here. I don't care who's watching my kids.
I don't want to
be in the house.
I don't want to inundate my children with new words.
I just don't want to. I just want to interrupting my wild card time. No, thank you.
Oh.
Well, I don't care what they hear. Yeah. All right. So what was your second thing before we hop on?
So my second question. Yeah, my second question is, and this can kind of be a wish list or prediction. I'll let you guys take your own stabs at it. Who are maybe the top, and I know it's only a roster expansion of two players now, but who would maybe crack your top three September call-ups?
That's a good question.
I'll start. I'll give you guys some time to think about this. Will Brennan, who I mentioned earlier, I would definitely have on that list. Definitely to spell Miles Straw. And even if it's a situation where Brennan plays, I don't know, 6-7 innings a game, and then Straw comes in as a defensive replacement, I just think he's not going to turn it around with the bat this late in the season. And, you know, maybe giving him some time off, he can kind of get his head in the right spot and then come ready for the playoffs. So I think Brennan's one of those guys that I would look to. And Cody Morris, stick him in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Everything I've been reading about him and his scouting reports is he can touch 97. So if you can have a guy like another Trevor Stephen, or Sam Hentges type, type who was a former starter and can come out and give you an inning plus and can also bring the heat like the rest of the guys in the pen, I am all for. And then that way
Well, you get some doubleheaders coming too. You got some doubleheaders.
You got one for sure against the Twins. And then
the six game, White and Sox. Then just like crazy six games?
No. Steve, the six game
is just straight through.
There's no doubleheaders in the six game.
No, it's just that one against the Twins on in the middle of the month.
And the makeup game with the White Sox,
but
right?
That was
okay.
That was a the schedulers were like, they thought they had everything wrapped up, and then they realized the Guardians and Royals were missing six games, and they're like, just end the game there.
No, season. No, what happened was those were the games that were supposed to open the season with.
Yeah, that was part of the lockout.
Oh, dude, you're totally right.
Yeah, they had
that. You're totally right.
The six part of the six games that we missed.
Oh, that worked out well for us.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah, so, with the way the season's gone, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say
I don't know if Cody I have Morris a third, is, by the way. So
okay. Well, I would say, I mean, mine are probably a little boring. Cody Morris, I would maybe totally
Jones,
want
maybe
up
bring
there.
Jones back.
That's the one. So Cody Morris, I would bring Jones back because he's had some time and he's contributed, and I think it would be an easy, simple thing to slot him back in and get him some time up here. If I wanted to get a little creative, if they wanted to really swing for it and say, we're going to see what we can do here, you could, because he's just destroying it, you could give George Valera an initial look. You could do it.
And I've actually heard,
I don't know, I
there
mean,
was an interesting article I read about that theory of getting some of those top prospects up to get them acclimated. Now, the teams that they were throwing out in the article were all pretty much out of the race. But I like your thought.
Putting him into the middle of a playoff race and getting him some at-bats during the week, I mean, he's clearly shown that he's probably already beyond, like, AAA pitching at this point with the way he's, like, torn the cover off the ball. So, I mean, if you wanted to, like, say, look, we do need some thump. We're going to see if maybe we can catch lightning in a bottle with a kid. And let's just freaking see what happens. That'd be interesting. I don't think they do it, but that would be very interesting.
Yeah, my three, Cody Morris for all the reasons, Nolan Jones for the reasons Steve mentioned. And I like the George Valera idea because, you know, he could just come out really hot. There won't be any, like, a lot of tape on him for, you know, what works against him. And all you're hoping for is, hey, if he hits a super hot, like, rookie first month, that could really push us over.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens all the time. There are plenty of rookies that come up.
So here's something interesting. I just pulled up his baseball reference pretty quickly. The average isn't there so far in Columbus, but it is only 16 games. But he does have three doubles and four home runs already. But he's also almost 5.5 years younger than the average AAA player.
He's what, 21?
He's 21 years old.
Crazy, man.
Like, hold on.
What's his? What are
almost
his
22?
Line?
Almost, he'll turn 22 in November. What's that?
Okay. What's his line? Like, what is his average right now
in Columbus or for the year?
Yeah, in Columbus.
228 average, 380 on base.
That's not bad.
491 slugging.
Still got an 872 OPS.
17 strikeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, in Akron, the average was up to 264.
I mean, he's never going to hit for a high average.
No, I mean, I think he's a 250 to 260 type of guy. Reminds me a couple of the guys over in Chicago, to be completely honest. Just like the kind of stats that he'll put up. So, and again, with a lineup of so many good hitters hitting, you know, 280 or higher, we could afford to have a guy hit 250, 260.
I mean, if George Valera is like your sixth hitter, or you pop him in at like clean up at some point, or the fifth spot, and you have him like sandwiched between a Gonzalez or a Jimenez or a Naylor, I mean, it's going to look really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
If they wanted to really get nuts, I could see them doing like a Cody Morris, George Valera call up and just saying, F it, let's just run with it. Let's try. Let's go.
Thursday, I mean, can't right get field, here soon enough.
I know. I mean, right field, as much as you like Oscar, as much as we like Oscar Gonzalez, it's like, could use a lefty, right? Potentially right now. Because you can move some guys around. Like you could run lineups out there where if you really wanted to, Valera would start in right, Naylor would be first, and then Oscar Gonzalez would be your DH.
Oh God, I love it.
If I you wonder if they maybe even think lineup. About Oscar Gonzalez at first base this offseason.
That's not a bad idea either, dude. I wouldn't be shocked if that was something that happened. He's tall. He's more athletic than people give him credit for. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's 6'4".
Exactly.
And you know what? I mean, just kind of looking at his numbers, he kind of seems like a, 15 to 20 home run type guy over a course of a full season with a crap ton of doubles. It's kind of like a Josh Bell type, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah. No, I'd be okay with that. Well, man, this is very exciting. This is all very exciting talk. We
are very exciting. And we will see deeper dives on the 40 man in the off season.
That's true. Got to have our off season content. So, until then, though, we'll see what they do. It'll probably be very boring. I would imagine it'll be like Connor Pilkington and
David Fry.
Jeez.
Yeah, honestly, dude.
Maybe. I'll tell you what. I did catch it. I'll leave on this note for what it's worth. I did catch a little bit of a Clippers game, and David Fry was like 3 for 3 with like an infield single. And I was like, I like the dude's hustle, and I wouldn't find it all that crazy if he, along with either Luke Maley or maybe Hedges returns, if that's your starting catchers for next season. Give Naylor
David Fry. I would say if David Fry's on the major league team, that's pretty grim, but I get what you're saying.
Well, I mean, just to start the season. I'm not talking, he's not going to end the season. I don't know if he'll end the season on the team. But ouch. I could see him getting a month look as the backup.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Okay. All right.
Just throwing it out there.
Oh, what a way to end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I told you.
There was so much hope a couple minutes ago. And then we were like, let's end on a high note.
And I was like, nope, I got to bring this baby back David down to our Fry? Level. How about David Fry, boys?
Yikes. Oh boy. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's end it there before we go any deeper. Be sure to catch us on social Cal Penal Pod. All sorts of our work can be seen in print at awaybackon.com. And we'll be back as September gets started and things get hot and heavy in the race. So keep checking back. I'll catch you guys later.